T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Well, as I've said, you know, I made a basketball decision in the context of what will be the best for the future of the Chicago Bulls. You know, it was actually 5 months, not 4, so the time flies. You know, this is a person's livelihood, so I took the responsibility, you know, seriously, with respect to the weight it carries. I said from the beginning that as I moved into this role during this unprecedented time, I would take my time to make the necessary evaluations. I made a decision now because I felt like I had all the information I needed. You know, I'm not a person who dwells on the past, and so as an organization, we're looking forward to the future of this franchise.
After the high road taken by Arturas Karnišovas, the Bulls executive vice president, and I understand that it probably behooves him to approach it that way, but Darnell Mayberry kept the receipts on the Jim Boylan era, and he laid them out on The Athletic. Darnell is on Twitter, at Darnell Mayberry. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. How's it going, Darnell? How you been?
I'm good, Dan. How are you?
Good. I love reading what you wrote, because the truth is, when all was said and done, that this was a guy in Jim Boylan who some of us were trying to sound alarms on for a while. And I had been hearing stories about what he did when Fred Hoiberg was still there. And it was sort of the classic weasel assistant coach playbook. And he was able to work it because there was in this dysfunctional Bulls front office and some of these dysfunctional and backwards relationships, that's where a guy like Boylan can start pulling some of the levers in a way where another organization wouldn't tolerate it. That was the takeaway that I had. And I was happy to read you having some of the details about sort of the flim-flam job that he pulled.
Yeah, you're absolutely right in terms of the suspicions under which Jim Boylan actually got the job. And I didn't even mention that. I mean, I wrote 3,500 words in this article, and I didn't even mention that. Didn't even get into it. But you could certainly go back to his origins and whether or not he got the job under some questionable circumstances, to say the least. So, from the moment that all went down, it just seemed like there was a lot of fishiness surrounding Jim Boylan. And, you know, you're right, Arturas Karnišovas did try to take the high road, but there was just so much wackiness and so much ridiculousness throughout his 2-year tenure as the head coach that, you know, you had to basically roll that out there and say, this is what happened with the Chicago Bulls while Jim Boylan was head coach.
And I don't know why so many are reluctant to try to shine a light in here or tell some of these truths. And I keep getting back to the column that Gordon Munson wrote from the Salt Lake Tribune upon Jim Boylan's departure, his firing as the head coach of Utah. And I compared it to the letter that Charles de Gaulle sent John F. Kennedy regarding the occupation of Vietnam, when the French were there, and he said, these were our experiences. If, in fact, you, as the United States, take over this occupation of Vietnam, here's what you can expect. And you go back and you read the letter, and you think, well, why didn't he listen? Why didn't they pay attention? All the things that happened on his watch at Utah essentially happened here. The same tactical problems, the same head-scratching comments, the same blame-shifting, the same players losing faith. It all already happened. happened, and it's as if the Bulls never paid attention to it.
And more disturbing to me, Dan, is that it seemed like it was three or four people who could see everything, who couldn't see everything that everyone else could see. I'm talking Gar Foreman, John Paxson, Michael Reinsdorf, Jerry Reinsdorf. Jim Boylan was only the head coach because at least three and maybe even all four of those men supported him and supported him to no end. And so that was the biggest shock to me, is that everyone, fans, media, opposing players, the Bulls players, could see that a lot of things were going wrong and just things just weren't right in terms of how you manage and run an NBA organization, but yet the decision makers refused to see it or just didn't care.
I knew something was amiss, Darnell, when I started hearing somebody told me that Boylan was going out of his way to sit next to Michael Reinsdorf on the team plane. And when I started hearing that, my first thought was, oh, no. Because when you think you've got a mark, when you think you've got somebody who doesn't know basketball and you can sit there and, you know, move your little pieces around or take out a dry erase board and start showing some things and sound all basketball-y, that's when I knew that it's just yet another case of Boylan's insecurities hiding in plain sight and him having to use some of this weaselly political skill because the coaching ability isn't there. The tactical chops, the relationship building isn't there. Everything had to be sort of artificially held in place. You know, and you mentioned like the number of times he had to cloak himself in the names and reputations of other better coaches. You know, when there are so many flashing warning lights as to somebody who knows he doesn't really deserve this position.
That's sort of what it felt like from the beginning. It just seemed like a Saturday Night Live skit, to be honest. I mean, you're talking about Bulls across the chest and,
yep. You
know, people having success because they have a great care factor and their soul is pure and their heart is pure. It's like, what are we doing here? None of it was about basketball. And you know, I'm proud to say that I was able to challenge Jim Boylan on that for 2 years. I mean, he talked so many buzzwords and never made it about basketball. And it just seemed like, you know, we were always talking about soul and spirit and not schemes and X's and O's and strategy. And that was, I believe, a big part of his downfall. You know, you're going out there and you're seeing this team get his head kicked in every night, but he'd come out and talk about how they battled. It's just, it was a level of ridiculousness that we can only hope that is behind us for the Chicago Bulls.
You know, we got Bulls across our chest.
How does it get undone? How now, regardless of the next head coach, regardless of who it is, and we assume that it's going to be somebody competent, but how do you make sure that the Boylan effect of the 20 months of stupid, that it doesn't linger, that the step back that Lauri Markkanen took, that the concerns that Wendell Carter Jr. was being misused and miscast, the unhappiness that with Zach LaVine, is how do you make sure that it doesn't continue to linger, that it doesn't continue to affect the respective trajectories of these important developing players?
Well, the head coach is going to be important, but I think the Bulls did the best thing they could have done, and that's bring in a new management team. And I think Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley are going to be the ones who affect change and really change the culture in this organization and get players and coaches and staff members all on one accord. And I think that's what's been ailing the Bulls for so long now, is that there's just been a void in leadership. And now that they've got new leadership in here, by all accounts, two guys who are highly respected, well-organized, just great credentials coming into this job. They're going to turn around the ship with, I just think, their professionalism and the way they go about their business. And we're already seeing that. You know, everyone was so up in arms about why Jim Boylan, including us, Dan, we were up in arms about why Jim Boylan was still here. But then it made all the sense in the world. They fired the guy on the last day of the regular season. Now, they didn't have to wait that long. I'm not, you know, giving them a pass on that. They didn't have to. But it did make a lot of sense to wait until the last day of the regular season and evaluate him. And it just told me that there's a method, a rhyme to the reason for these guys. And Karnišovas and Eversley know what they're doing. And I think Bulls fans would be right to trust that they do as they step into these roles.
I would have launched him the moment I signed the contract to run the team. That would have been my first order of business, just like they did with Gar Forman. Because if they knew enough that Forman was out, done, I felt the same way about Boylan. I didn't see any reason to have him around the offices or sending out his dumbass press releases, whatever he was doing, 1 minute longer than was absolutely necessary. Especially because of the specificity of your reporting about the toxicity and about the backstabbing and about how people thought in the words that you used, a bullcrap artist, that there was no good reason to wait on something like that when you can come in and say enough.
Yeah, and I tried my best to lay it out in that piece on The Athletic, and that was January 6th. Daniel Gafford is on the court, rolling around in pain, and Jim Boylan refuses to call a timeout. But the actual anecdote that I led with was what happened in Toronto a month later, Super Bowl Sunday, where Daniel Gafford rolls his ankle early in the game, exits late in the first quarter, and doesn't come back until the last 4.5 minutes, and he has a pronounced limp. Dan, if you can go back and watch the last 4 minutes and watch how Daniel Gafford in that game was laboring up and down the court, it was coaching negligence in plain sight. And that, to me, is when he realistically could have been fired. You didn't have to wait until April or March when the season was officially over. These are all things that were detected long ago that anyone who took this job in terms of management could see and connect those dots from a long time ago, that this guy just – there was a lot off about Jim Boylan's coaching tactics.
Well, and when Daniel Gafford was free to say what he said on Twitch, and by the way, you can join the conversation. We're on Twitch right now, in fact, and you should come hang with us because the discussion is really lively at twitch.tv/Chicago670thescore. When he said there's a lot he has to work on as a coach and as a person, I thought that was huge because this is a player who's not even a starter. This is a guy who's hanging on the bottom half of the roster. To call out his current coach at the time for needing to work on things as a person, I thought that was astonishing.
And not just the fact that he's a backup center. I mean, he's a rookie. You don't normally hear rookie players talk about their coaches like that. Here's a guy who's played 40 some odd games in the NBA, and he's calling out his coach, not just as a coach, as you said, but as a person in addition to that. So it wasn't a secret that the players didn't really trust and believe in Jim Boylan. They really questioned a lot of his methods, his tactics, his schemes, and they didn't, I don't think, respect him as a coach who could lead them to winning. They might have appreciated how hard he worked, and I know that they do know that he cares, but in terms of respecting him and his ability to lead them to a winning franchise, I just don't think that was ever there.
How has he been able to stay on benches as long as he has? I mean, obviously, it's a testament to his political skill, and I'm not even using that kindly, that he's been sort of a survivor in the same way Gar Forman was. But how has he been able to continue to find spots on NBA benches?
Well, I mean, now, to give Jim Boylan some credit here, and in his defense, I mean, the guy is sharp when it comes to the game. He knows the game of basketball. He knows more about basketball than we will ever know. He's probably forgotten more than we will ever know. I've always had a tremendous amount of respect for his ability to understand strategy and schemes and what he's actually doing. The problem with Jim Boylan was when he became the head coach, those schemes just weren't working. And I think he did a lot of things his way, as opposed to trying to tailor his system, his style to the players and the roster that he had. And that's what the best coaches in this league do. They don't force players to fit what they want to do. They cater their systems, their schemes around the roster that they have. And that's not something that Jim Boylan ever did. He changed his style so many times in just those short, not even a full two seasons. But I do think that everything that he brings to the table, the knowledge the experience. That's very valuable on an NBA bench. What it's proved to be is it's not very valuable for him as a head coach. But as an assistant, I think he can really tap into his experience and his knowledge and help a franchise.
Talking with Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic on Sports Radio 670 The Score, what do you know about where the Adrian Griffin story stands? We had some very specific stomach-churning grisly allegations against him made by, and if it's wife or ex-wife, and then the response from him and the team was outright denial. And then that was it. So I don't even know if you can keep him as a candidate with all that we don't know about that story.
Yeah, there's a lot that we don't know, and it's the Bulls' job to do their homework and dig into those allegations and that history and make sure that they're sure before even thinking about pulling the trigger on Adrian Griffin at this point. But I think the Bulls are in a way, in a better position than a lot of other teams out there, short of Toronto, and they don't need him as the head coach, obviously. But because Arturis Karnišovas have played with him back in college at Seton Hall, you know, there's a relationship there. They know each other, and it shouldn't be too difficult for Arturis to come in and do his homework, do his due diligence on Adrian Griffin's background and make sure that he knows fully what's going on and what's happened there before even thinking about making that decision. So, and I'm pretty sure that that will happen. The Bulls know him. He played here. He worked. He coached here. This is an organization that's familiar with Adrian Griffin, and by most accounts from the people I've spoken to within the organization, they are familiar with him. They don't know him to be that. Now, we all have things that, you know, none of us know about each other, but, you know, the Bulls work closely with him, and they feel confident that they know who he is, and they don't think that that's in his character.
Well, it makes it difficult. It would make it difficult for me to even have him as a candidate at this point, despite the fact that, as I was mentioning yesterday, it's my hope, and you may know more about how the actual search is going to go down, but I hope they cast a wide net and interview anybody who they might have half a thought that they could be interested in, because this is your free look. This is your chance to get all kinds of intelligence on the way other organizations do their business. Whether you can talk to Becky Hammon and Ime Udoka and Kenny Atkinson, it's a great way for this regime to get insights into so many best practices. Even if you aren't even at half a mind to hire somebody, it's more as much information gathering as it is determining your best candidate.
You're right about that. And the Bulls have a leg up. They're already ahead of the curve with that, because they just brought on three executives, four executives from three different organizations. You got Karnišovas, you got Eversley, you got J.J. Polk, and you've got Pat Connelly. Those guys come from Denver, Philadelphia, and New Orleans. So they've already have corporate knowledge of these other organizations, and I think that's going to give them a leg up in terms of implementing some best practices here in Chicago.
I was watching the Denver-Utah game yesterday. I watched almost the entire game, and just a tremendously entertaining basketball. It's everything you want from the NBA. With you had star players trading baskets, and watching Jamal Murray and just watching the way they space the floor, the way they communicate, and thinking, you know, Arturis Karnišovas had a big hand in putting this team together and helping some of these players develop. I felt good as a Bulls fan watching that game.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I'm watching Jamal Murray and I'm thinking of Arturis Karnišovas. Like, how can you get one of those here?
Right.
Because that guy is a phenomenal talent, and he doesn't get a lot of the credit that he deserves playing out in Denver and you know, Mountain Time and you know, just a smaller market. But he's a phenomenal player. And Donovan Mitchell, the show he put on. But yeah, you look at that Denver team and what Arturis was able to do. Even down to the coach, you know, bringing in the coach, he made it a point to tell us yesterday, this isn't the first time he's undergone a coaching search. So, you know, we're looking forward to seeing what he's able to do. You know, this was the first big step, getting Jim Boylan, trying to get Jim Boylan out of there and find a replacement for him. And then how he builds that roster. That's when we're going to be able to really start to evaluate his credentials and his chops as a VP of basketball ops. And I just can't wait to see what they do. I, again, these guys are highly respected executives. They come with reputations that precede them. Now it's time for them to get to work. And the lottery is Thursday. We'll see if they get, you know, move up in the lottery and then what they do in the draft. But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing them start to put some pieces together on this puzzle and get some free agents in here and make some trades that make sense.
Darnell Mayberry, great work with that piece. And I love every time you join us, there's terrific stuff on the Bulls you can't get elsewhere.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan.
Darnell Mayberry of The Athletic. Yeah, it's a can't-miss piece that he wrote that really chronicles what was going on behind the scenes there with the Bulls. When we come back, I've got another peeve that I have to address here, and it has to do with the way a lot of fans across the Big Ten and a lot of people on tangentially involved with some of these college football programs are acting right now in the wake of the Big Ten deciding that they're not going to play football this fall. It's another group of people that just needs to grow up. We'll get to them next on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.